Hey, good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show right here on talk808.com. Thank you for joining me, and I'm very excited today about being here and a little delayed, but I just love it, the convenience of broadcasting on the fly and on the go, and pretty flexible. So we're not trying to run a show, we're just trying to openly document some of the things that goes on within our communities and what have you. Remember, if you have any information or want to join Carol Cox on the Carol Cox Show right here at talk808.com, send us an email at carol@carolcox.com or text us. And just let us know what you got, what you have, and keep it clean. And we're always trying to make it good for the other fellow or the other woman or whoever, as long as it's justice and fairness. So I really wanted to, I was quite anxious to come on this morning and talk. And later on today, I will talk some more about it. But the Red Hill fuel facility, the tank facility, and you know I've been quite talkative about that and extensive in my coverage with documents that we recovered from the Department of Health. And I tell you, the State Department of Health. And I'm going to tell you this and tell you in the opening, the most open and factual basis as I can. The State Health Department is covering up for the Department of Navy and the United States government. It is covering up. It is foot dragging purposely. I'll give you some background on what is happening. The Red Hill fuel facility sits atop, basically will influence two aquifers. And these are very important aquifers to the city and county of Honolulu and the people that drink here and the surrounding areas of Waiakai, I'm told, Waianae. But nonetheless, we want clean water, and there are standards and there are rules and there are federal law that say you must have clean water and you must have it delivered to the tap in a fashion and the glass that is safe to drink and should be free of any impurities such as contaminants, total carbons and what have you, TPHs, naphthalene, chemicals, constituents used to preserve or enhance the usability of these fuels. So sadly, I've recovered documents some while back in my research, waiting for this moment because, as I say, and I'm making this statement, and this is not out of anger or excitement or just embellishing something. I'm saying again, the State Department of Health, the Hawaii State Department of Health, the Safe Water Drinking Branch, the Board of Water Supply, and all of those in the United States Navy, and all of those that are involved have failed the people in this situation and continue to fail the people by snookering them. They put together committees. Your state senators have failed. Your state legislators, your representatives have failed and continue to fail. And eventually now, if I may use the term or description, we're painting ourselves in a corner. These constituents or contaminants that are found in the water, that have been leaked into the water as a result of spills and other activities, and I'm going to talk about those, and you'll be quite shocked that many of you rarely have heard or even know of this process that is taking place as part or a component of the Red Hill fuel facility. And I believe you'll go away with some better understanding and understand why I'm willing to make such statements. And the tolerance on the part of the State Health Department to not receive required, mandated reports that is supposed to be supplied by the state, by the Department of Navy, and they didn't. And so been quite docile in the approach with the state and the this relationship that with the Navy. And so it's a charade. Imagine they have now the public is involved in going to meetings, sitting in public hearings, and all of that to discuss the replacement of tanks, and we'll describe those tanks, huge tanks, 12 million gallons of fuel oil can be stored in each tank or more. Now, and there's about 20, but the letter I'm going to read you talks about 16 at the time. But you would think by now there would be no debate. We need security. We need fuel for our military jets. We need fuel to operate. We need it. I'm not knocking that. This country is built on strength. Strength comes from all components that are that we rely on. And so I'm not saying that we don't need it. I'm not saying we should get rid of it. But what I am saying is that leave the real decisions to the experts. But the experts must be honest about their activities and their doings and their impacts. But it's a shame to watch and hear and pick up the paper and watch TV that yet there's another meeting where the citizens are asked to give their comments on putting new tanks and comments of that nature. What do they know about building tanks? What are they drawing from as an engineer? Why not just do what is best for the environment and for the people and install the right tanks if they're not capable of installing the right tanks or what have you, or the technology is not there? Reduce that risk by removing the tanks. But why would we engage in inviting the public to become tank experts, so to speak? So it's a shameful process, and it is pulling the wool over the eyes of the public, while eventually the day of dead reckoning is coming. And that is, the water is polluted as we speak right now, and we have the documentation. And by the way, much of this documentation that we had was sitting in the office of the State Health Department, Rich Tanaba's office, as he described to me as I was responding to a request for records, public request for records officially. He informed me that he had forgotten that the records had come in and they were just sitting on the desk. Well, my question is, then, what if you forgot they were available to you and you had received the reports from the Navy, the quarterly reports, then how did you communicate this information and the safety levels of the drinking water to the Safe Drinking Water Branch? How did the Safe Drinking Water Branch determine that the water was safe to drink and the EAL's environmental action levels or the other concerns were met? If, in fact, you didn't have the reports to pass them on to the Safe Drinking Water Branch. And understand, the Safe Drinking Water Branch is a division or housed within the State Department of Health. The UST branch, the Solid and Hazardous Waste Branch, is housed under the State Health Department. And they supposedly regulate the Navy. But it is an open argument that the Navy declares that it is sovereign to Hawaii's laws, and so therefore the state has no jurisdiction. And it is also claimed that the state regulations does not apply to the Navy. We don't care. Drinking water that's not safe is unsafe drinking water, and we should not be drinking it. The Board of Water Supply should be more aggressive, and it has written letters inquiring, but peripherally. It should take legal action, we believe, to file an action. We know the constituents of concern, the TPHs and other benzenes and all have shown up and continue to show up. Naphthalene, methyl naphthalene, and all of those things are there and have been there and detected. So much for that. Now, oh, that's good. I want to go back a while in time. And those of you out there viewing this on Olelo, thank you. And again, I'm doing this so that you will know a little bit more than what they are feeding you and denying you, the public, and failing to take certain actions to address the issues with this. How many of you out there have heard of the Red Hill oily waste pit there in Mauna Loa area, or Red Hill area. How many of you have heard of that? The Red Hill oily waste pit work plant. Now, they've gotten you to focus on, it's a tank that's leaking. And the one that was stated in 2014, there was 27,000 gallons of fuel oil of some type. We're not going to go into the details because I don't trust anything they've told us yet. And I don't trust anything they intend to tell us in the future. They being the State Health Department, the Clean Water, Safe Drinking Water Branch, the EPA, the Board of Water Supply, or the United States Navy. It's one big lie. And we don't know what their intentions are, who they think they're serving to lie to us and then give us dirty water. But it's okay, I guess, when they go to meet their makers or go to heaven or wherever they arrive at, they will be held accountable, because right now the mechanisms are not in place to hold them accountable here. There's too much politics. The legislators are withholding information and not being aggressive and leading people into meetings to talk about replacing tanks, and most of the people wouldn't know how to install the swimming pool. So this is a memorandum that was sent to on January 19th, 1990, to the Chief Safe Drinking Water Branch. Now, that states, this is Manager Hazardous Evaluation and Emergency Responses here. Site Characterization Phase 1, Red Hill Oily Waste Disposal Site, Pearl Harbor. This is a site having nothing to do, per se, with the tanks themselves situated in the same area. This is an area removed from that, and we'll describe the distance. These are tanks that were put in place so when they had to clean the huge underground tanks, they needed to place the waste somewhere, and that somewhere would be in these tanks, or 80,000 gallon tanks. And that in turn, they would process that waste and get rid of it, we would think. But listen, please find the attached one set of draft planning documents, work plan, sampling analysis plan, health and safety plan, and the community relations for the Red Hill Oily Waste Disposal Pit for your review and comment. We are particularly interested in the RCRA, UST Underground Storage Tank, SDWA, and the groundwater protection concerns. The attached form has been developed to simplify your review. Please provide your comments on the review form and return it to our office by 9 February 1990. Now, I'm not going to make any apologies for seeming to be unprofessional here or untrained or unskilled. I don't really care. I'll let the document speak for itself, and you, those of you that are concerned, you'll understand. Those of you that think that this is a charade or a show to entertain you, I apologize. It's not that. Summary of Red Hill Oily Waste Pit Work Plan. The Naval Supply Center Red Hill Oily Waste Disposal Pit site is located within the boundaries of the Red Hill Fuel Depot, Pearl Harbor Naval Base, Oahu, Hawaii. The site is located about 3,300 feet west of the Red Hill Underground Fuel Storage Tanks, about 700 feet southwest of the Red Hill Freshwater Pumping Station, and about 50 feet east of South Halava Stream. We have pictures of that. We've actually gone and taken pictures, and they've been advertised and shown in news stories on Hawaii News Now and other stations regarding the bubbling of oil, or waste oil, out of the ground at the Halava facility. You can see that today if you'd like to. But we're going to, we're posting this letter up on carolcox.com. We're also going to be posting pictures so that you can see for yourself and see the video of the tar and what have you. And they tried to explain it away in the review or environmental impact review was that the tar is present because some clandestine roofing company dumped buckets of tar in the ground and buried it. And so today it's migrating upward. And so therefore we're seeing or witnessing the presence of tar that covers 50, 60, 100 yards of an area or more on the surface. And that's that 50 some feet from Halava Stream. But the history of the operation of this oily waste facility, and this might, I'm believing that this may explain why we have such high readings and have had high readings of contaminants in our drinking water already extracted and served up to the people from the Mauna Loa aquifer. The original pit was constructed and operated from 1943 to 1948 and was unlined, meaning what you place in there could percolate through oil, gas, naphthalene, methyl naphthalene, anything. This pit had a basal area of 1,250 square feet, a surface area of 3,150 square feet, and was 14 feet deep. From 1949 to 1972, the disposal pit was not in operation, though the site was apparently used to collect and store waste materials. From 1972 to 1987, a new asphalt pit lined with concrete was constructed and operated at the site of the original pit, though with a different orientation. The new pit has a base area of 1,750 square feet, a surface area of 3,850 square feet, and is 10 feet deep. You're not hearing anything about an oily waste dump that was in that area that has contributed to the contamination of the drinking water found in the basal aquifer and the perched water aquifer called Mauna Loa. And there's another one, and the name escapes me now. But there are two aquifers there in the reading that I've come across. But you have heard nothing to say from the mouth of any of the parties that are leading you down to the public meetings to talk about and use your expertise and recommendation in replacing tanks. What the hell you know about tanks? Nothing. But I believe once you hear what we're saying here, you'll be more in tune and concerned and create your own investigation and ask, how is it that this could have happened? And it was all sanctioned by the EPA, the State Health Department, the Navy, and Board of Water Supply had knowledge of this activity. The two pits are utilized for treatment and disposal of oily waste. The pits receive oily waste and sludges that were generated from the cleaning of 1,623,000 barrel, 12.6 million gallon underground fuel tanks at the Red Hill Fuel Depot. These tanks were used primarily to store Navy special fuel oil, in addition to jet fuel JP5, aviation gasoline, and diesel fuel. From an underground pipe system, waste could be routed from the underground tanks into the old pit or into bypass piping, which discharged into South Halava Stream. Can you imagine? And we all wonder, why is Pearl Harbor so contaminated? Why is it so polluted? Why is it that they are putting signs, do not eat the fish? Why? Well, here's why. This document, once again, I want you to hear this, and I'm going to repeat it. From an underground pipe system associated with the tanks, with 12.6 million gallon tanks that are underground, From an underground pipe system, waste could be routed from the underground tanks into an oil pit or into bypass piping, which discharge into South Halava Stream, which runs and empties into Pearl Harbor. Treatment at the disposal pits consisted of separation into water, oil, and sludge components. Water was evaporated and or delivered to South Halava Stream. Water was evaporated from, well, oil and water don't mix, but you're always going to get a sheen, and the constituents found in the oil will also contaminate the water. So you weren't just dumping clean water that you separated. These waters had contaminants in them, and they were dumped where? Into South Halava Stream. On at least one occasion, sludge residues were burned with other miscellaneous materials, including tires and diesel fuel. Off-site surface soil contamination has occurred periodically. During the early 1980s, waste were dumped and pumped from the pit and dumped on the ground via holes. Again, off-site surface soil contamination has occurred periodically. During the early 1980s, wastes were pumped from the pit and dumped on the ground via a hose. You can't get any more archaic than that, folks. You can't be blinded by the light any longer. You attend these public meetings, you should be demanding, what are you going to do and what are you doing immediately to address the concerns of contamination that's already in the water? Forget the leaks that you say you're worried about in the future, that you barely disclose in the past. Let's talk about the impact of the oily waste facility that I'm describing here. Again, go to carolcox.com and you can print that document off and read it for yourself. Contaminants involved here. Off-site surface soil contamination occurred periodically. During early 1980s, waste were pumped from the pit and dumped on the ground via holes. During the 1970s, sludges removed from the asphalt line pit were dumped on soils west of the pit. And that percolates down. And they found contaminants in the water. The perched water, the aquifer, through the monitor wells. So, this is going to get you. You know, I mentioned in the opening statement, they say in September 2014, they had their first little spill of 27,000 gallons, and they lied to the public back and forth, tossing back and forth what was truth and fiction and what have you. And the reality is, they knew. These levels have been exceeded so much that they've had to change them. And we've talked about that in other shows, the environmental action levels. You have the fox, the wolf, and the snake watching over us for the drinking water. And they are inviting us, so kindly of them, to participate in meetings to talk about how we should remove tanks, when in fact the impact is already here and is still impacting our groundwater or drinking water. In the 1940s, you ready for this? You might want to sit down, because you see, didn't they tell you and tell us all that in September or 2014, there was a spill, one of the first spills. In 1940s, a 1.2 million gallon fuel spill contributed to off-site soil contamination. Remember that story about a roofing company illegally hauled and dumped tar and dumped it in a hole, and it now migrating to the top But in that same area, a 1.2 million gallon fuel spill occurred. And they didn't clean it up. It's still there. Some of it is below the surface. Some of it was covered with dirt. But much of it can be, if you went to the plant quarantine facility and park in the parking lot, you will see oil bubbling, big balloon spots, and oil creeping, depending on the viscosity and the heat of the day, you will see the oil creeping, and it's not far from the Halava stream. So, five potential contaminant sources at the site have been identified. Old pit, new pit, associated system of pumps, piping, and above ground storage tanks. Discharge to South Halava Stream. Folks, we're talking about where there's oil and sludge and fuel and all of those things and contaminants being purposely and intentionally dumped into a stream called the Halava Stream. Now, if you consider the number of years that this took place over the period of time, it might offer some explanation as to why Pearl Harbor is so contaminated and why our waters surrounding the islands and why our coral reefs have died and why our fish populations are low and why all of those natural resources in the fragile biota that we see out there, the limu, the seaweeds as we call them, or kelp, as some of you from California may know. What happened to all of that? Well, if you have a 1.2 million gallon fuel spill over the ground in that area, and it's upslope, and you purposely dumping into the stream from this oily waste pits, and these pits were originally unlined, so meaning they percolate. And even if they were lined, it didn't matter because they were purposely dumping the oil and waste through a hose onto the ground. Suspected contaminants and unauthorized discharges to the ground, as well as three major contaminant migration paths, air, surface water, and subsurface transport. Suspected contaminants at the site include waste fuel constituents, polynuclear aromatic hydrocarbons, PNAs, or PAHs, phenols, metals, solvents, and possibly dioxins from the burning of waste. And I attended one of those meetings, I think one or two of them at the school, one little elementary school, or school, mid school, one of the schools there. And I will tell you, the stories that I heard about the cancers and the uniqueness of some of the cancers from people that lived in the area, residents that lived in the area, who believe that they had a real reason and a cause to be concerned because of the previous and the prior history and the use and the illegal dumping and the spillings, especially a 1.2 million gallon fuel spill that you hear nothing about. But they tell you they did acknowledge spilling, leaking 27,000 gallons. So exposure to the contaminants could include inhalation, ingestion, and direct contact with the dermal contact. General receptors may include area residents, aquatic and terrestrial biota, and site visitors. Just visiting the site, pig hunters, surveyors, whomever that transit the area. Transport pathways for contaminants. Air transport is assumed to be significant for the volatilization and contaminants from the new waste disposal pit. Surface water flow is assumed to be significant since the piping system for the discharge of fluids directly into the South Halava Stream still exists. And since surface water runoff from the northeast portion of the site appears to drain into South Halava Stream. Subsurface transport is assumed to be significant for all five of the potential contaminant sources. Subsurface transport of the contaminants may occur horizontally through the perch water table zone until discharged as stream base flow, or vertically until eventually impacting the basal aquifer. Folks, I'm telling you today that if you think that you're benefiting from the participation in you going down and being asked and consulted on how to build new tanks and how to make them impervious to leaks or make them susceptible to leaks and the environmental concerns and the corrosion and the electrolysis and all of that and a cathodic ray system, they're asking you all of these questions and want you to participate at that level, but they're not telling you that there was something that went on bigger and uglier when they cleaned each tank, never mind the leaks. When they were just to pull maintenance on the tanks, they went and pumped it into a tank that was 8,000 gallons and in turn pumped it on the ground, dumped it on the ground, put it in pits, let it run into the streams, pump it in the stream intentionally. And then on top of all of that, they never tell you that in that area, a 1.2 million gallon fuel spill occurred. And it's my belief, folks, when the military and when the government tell you and acknowledge and admit that it's 1.2, kick it up a couple of notches and call it 4.3. You have that right, because they're never going to tell you the truth. And they themselves tell you the tanks, they can't really tell with accuracy what the volume is. But if you would, you know, they wouldn't shortchange themselves by making it look it was more, so they're going to be conservative. But it doesn't matter. A cup full of oil on the ground is too much, and especially a hose dumping it into a stream is too much. So subsurface transport is assumed to be significant for all five of the potential contaminant sources. Subsurface transport of the contaminants may occur horizontally through the perched water table zone until discharged as stream base flow, or vertically until eventually impacting the basal aquifer. Need something to think about? Want a little oil and you want your water to go down a little better? Drinking from the Moanalua Aquifer, you might be able to swallow a little easier, along with the grease and the grime that the United States Navy and the Department of Health and the Board of Water Supply. You see, the Board of Water Supply, I believe, is more complicit in this, because you see, they're selling us that product and their standards. And these are my beliefs, but the Board of Water Supply has actually written a letter to the health department inquiring about TPHs and the levels and whining and moaning. Doesn't matter. This is just not good enough when you are the one who is packaging the water up, whether it's going through pipes or you're certifying that it's clean. And you're writing a letter going, well, you know, we're concerned that the TPHs are showing up over the years and all. Well, then you better make sure that you're not selling us and delivering to us in our tap water, in our homes or in our businesses or wherever, a contaminated product. It does not let you off the hook, Board of Water Supply, that you would be selling something and then instead you're at odds with them publicly, but you're not doing what is necessary, in my belief, that say that you should be doing more and holding their feet to the fire and making them demonstrate that they are addressing the contaminants that are found and that are already in the water from these leaks, from these intentional dumpings, from these discharges purposely, and especially that 1.2 million gallons. Mind you, there are other leaks, and we have those records. So it doesn't matter what they claim or what they say. They can take us to task on this, and this document, again, go to carolcox.com, and we'll be posting others on there, and look for yourself and see those documents. So they're going to do a phase one field investigation. Soil, surface, and subsurface samples will be collected in the vicinity of the old pit and analyzed for a range of expected contaminants. See, everything, they're going through the motion, pretending to be protecting the public, and they get to the, reach these conclusions, and then you end up with nothing, a stick in the mud. They don't produce anything, and they're inviting you and me to these public meetings so that we can be the experts on tank building. I have to chuckle, folk, because I'm not an expert in anything other than drinking clean water, clean air, and being able to grow my garden or grow plants if I wish to. I'm not a tank expert, but they are stringing the public along in this game. They being the EPA. The EPA has knowledge of this oily waste permit, and in fact, Superfund monies, I'm told, were used or utilized, or they were debating and talking, but EPA took this matter, the oily waste pit, out of the hands of the state health department. This is what was told to me by the state inspectors as we were there. And all of these documents, mind you, nobody leaked them to us. We were able to investigate and write a UIP, Uniform Information Practices Act request for these documents, and we were able to get them, and we personally scanned them in ourselves, and we obtained them from the State Health Department Solid and Hazardous Waste Branch on the UST, Underground Storage Tanks. Now, at the Halava Red Hill Fuel Waste, Ollie Waste Pits, the tank, and you can see a replacement tank up on the hill now, a big green tank. And that tank served the same purposes, basically. And that tank would receive all of the waste as we've described in this paper. So I want to leave you with one other bit of information regarding the oily waste pit and the overall relationship and what is going on with the Red Hill debacle or the Red Hill cover-up. But you see, they think they're slick because they're dealing in oil. But no, if the truth be told, and we had an aggressive and an honest bunch of folks concerned with more than their salaries and their paychecks and their and all of that, I could say to you, I trust what is going on now. I understand that leaks happen. It's technology. Things do fail. I understand all of that. But isn't it amazing that such a feat, maybe the 8th, 10th, 12th wonder of the world, to place tanks of that size, enormous, gigantic size, and place them underground and build them. That's a masterful accomplishment, engineering feat. But I have to ask and express concerns that with all of that technology and all that sophistication and all of that secrecy, why on earth would you take the waste oil from those tanks and dump it on the ground through a hose, as this document explains and describes? And why would you, of all of that, why would you dump the waste into a stream for years? Why? That's giving reason and cause to not trust anything they say or that they do from this point on. But I mean, mind you, many of you might feel that you get rewarded and being stroked to be able to sit with the big boys. But it is not the actions singularly that stands out by themselves and creates a problem. Speaking to the lack of concern for the health and welfare of the environment and the people. Here's a 2004 letter. And there are others similar to this and like this, but I just pulled one out of the file just to give you an idea of what you're dealing with and why you're being recruited and invited, and why Senator Gabbard and the other state legislators won't put their feet down and stand up and say, damn it, enough is enough. We don't care how expensive it is. When people are dying from cancers that go unexplained, when the environment is contaminated, and the best interest in the Constitution of the state of Hawaii affords people the right for clean air, clean water, and respect to as far as the ability to live clean. And you agree to meetings. And these meetings are scheduled and planned in a fashion that it's just a cover up. It's a ruse. Because in place, you see, whatever is transpiring on these facilities or at these facilities or at these tanks, there must be reports required by law. And these reports, well, they, some while, I can't speak for the current, the present time, but in the past, these reports were quite evasive. And, for example, this letter, June 10th, 2004, to Darren Nuchima, Navy Region Hawaii, Regional Environmental Department. The Navy has an environmental department. What do they do? Well, if they need to kill more whales, they end up approving it and processing it. If they need to kill more cetaceans or marine mammals, they find a way. But they have an environmental department. You can better bet that. They have it. And they're very efficient. But this letter to Mr. Uchima from the State of Hawaii Health Department signed by Stephen Chang, who has retired. Red Hill Tank Complex, Facility ID 910, release IDs, and they assign numbers to the release. During the telephone conference between representatives of the Department of Health and the Navy on December 11, 2003, a number of issues were discussed, including documentation requested in DOH's letter of October 2003. To date, get this. To date, DOH has not received the requested documentation from the Navy or the required quarterly reports. Now, this was 2004. Now, imagine if they're not giving it to the, quote, regulator, the State Health Department, these records. What kind of BS do you think they're feeding you, the public, by saying, come on in, bring us your comments? And if you notice, they'd schedule a meeting, they'd cancel a meeting. They'd schedule a public hearing, and they'd cancel it. Because you're third string or fourth string. You don't matter. There's a game going on here, folks. So I want you to listen to this now. Now, you heard me tell you and read from a document that 1.2 million gallons of fuel oil spill at the site at the Red Hill oily waste site in that facility, that complex. 1.2 million gallon. And again, that was done in the 40s, 1940s. It doesn't matter when, because the longer it is, the older it is, the worse we should be concerned, the more we should be concerned, because it is traveling, migrating, percolating down through the ground to impact the water. So time doesn't matter in this, you know. If some say, well, that was a long time ago, that might be detrimental, like anything. But that was 1.2 million gallon of fuel oil spilled at the Red Hill facility. Now, the state in 2004, why I say there's a cover up here, I got these records from their office, the people that wrote these letters. I got what I found at 1.2 million gallon spill and the other spills and the intentional dumpings from their records. No other agency involved, but the state health department records and that they generated as well as the Navy generated. So the state says in this letter on June 10th, 2004, the first confirmed underground storage tank release for the Red Hill facility was reported on October 28th, 1998. Almost 58 years prior to that, they're quoting and citing a 1.2 million gallon spill. But there were others in between and leaks. And leaks could be a pinhole, could be a hole about the size of a football. It depends. And that is a determined, the amount of leakage is the leak ratio. How much a pinhole would leak in a 24-hour period or whatever, an 8-hour period or an hour period. That tells you how many barrels it would be leaking in a day in 24-hour period, depending on the size. And it's, you know, it's mathematically determined. But I'm saying to you and submitting to you out there, suggesting that don't trust anything they say or do. Ask your legislators to step up to the plate and play real ball. Ask the Board of Water Supply to come along and file a legal action compelling the Navy and the State Health Department to rein in the loose ends and the loose behavior. But when they write a letter in 2004 saying the first confirmed underground storage tank release for Red Hill facility was reported in October 28, 1998, since that time, two additional confirmed releases have been reported and logged. Under the UST laws, the Navy should have submitted 21 quarterly progress reports. DOH, it states, has received none. So, if DOH is not receiving reports from, historically reports from the Navy in a timely fashion, what was the quality of DOH's decision-making practices or product? What, or at worst, it was delayed a couple years. So 21 quarterly reports, and that was mandated that they submit quarter, they being the Navy, submit quarterly reports from sampling that they go to the monitoring wells, monitor and sample these wells for contaminants, send those results, monitoring results, to the State Health Department. But here the state is saying in 2004, you're not giving us any records. You're not giving us any records, even though the law requires you to. But you see, the Navy operates loosely and off the hook because they know it's all a cover-up and nobody's going to step up to the plate and take any action and leaving people exposed to these horrible diseases. So, and illnesses associated with contaminated water. So I am going to post that letter up and go to carolcox.com on talk808.com, and hope to see you on Olelo, and thank you for joining in, and I appreciate all of your participation and your letters and emails and tips. I will continue to, as long as my fingers are moving and my mouth is moving, we intend to be here. And remember, it's not a cover-up, a good cover-up, when people are dying and getting sick from dirty water. And there's no good, real good cover-up. Lansing, Michigan is a perfect example. If you think I'm lying, just go back and read some, do a little historical reading on their behavior and what is happening in there in Flint, Michigan, in those areas. EPA was involved. Their city and the state regulatory bodies were involved. And what happened? They lied to the people. So we're going to sign off, and we'll see you again. And thank you for joining me also on Bittersweet News. You can catch us on Olelo. And thank you for joining. Aloha.